Let me just start with some scripture. Whom do I have in heaven but you? On earth there is no one I desire but you. My flesh and my heart may grow weak, but God always protects my heart and gives me stability. Yes. Look, those far from you die. You destroy everyone who is unfaithful to you, but as for me, God's presence is all I need. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter as I declare all the things you have done. Let's pray together. Father, we are here tonight to declare some of what you have done. And we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your calling us out to be one of your family. And Lord, as we gather, I ask that you would add your blessing to this time and that you would be well pleased with everything that happens through this evening. May we hear your voice and may we listen and obey. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're going to do through this time this evening for your glory. Amen.
I'm reading from a New International Version. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to this, to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for the name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in the room who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from our God, for our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's been a while since we spent time in the city of Rome. So we're heading back. So when we left off our series of Romans, it was the beginning of November. We thought we were going to encounter winter. Now that we've had it, we're going to get back into it. So tonight, because it's been like 2 months since we've talked about Romans, I'm going to take some time to look back, see what we've talked about, kind of get us back into the awareness of what's happening, what's going on in the city of Rome and the church there, what Paul has written, that sort of thing, so that we can move forward with that in the ongoing weeks. The series title is actually called Spoken For. And the reason for that came out really, really early. As a matter of fact, right in the first few verses, as we talked about belonging way, way back. As a matter of fact, that was a year ago, January of 2023. We talked about belonging and belonging to someone, which is really offensive, isn't it? How many of you want to belong to someone? Yeah, I do. I do belong to someone. She was sitting right there. As soon as I got up to speak, she took off. We have to... She's heard it all week. We have to shift our understanding. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. She's coming back. Yes, I was talking about you, babe. We have to get out of our heads some of the idea of belonging Yes, it's true. Slavery is part of the Roman world. Slavery is part of Paul's mentality. Slavery is part of Paul's world. It really is. He was a citizen. But slavery was Rome. And there was no one saying that it shouldn't be done. It was how things were done. So belonging, someone owning someone else, was a normal part of life. Absolutely normal. The key was what your owner was like. Was he kind? Was he benevolent? Did he take good care of his slaves? Or did he not? That was the real key issue. Of course, for us, that whole concept, that whole ideology is just repugnant. But the simple fact is that Paul calls himself a slave of God. Simple fact is we are slaves. We've seen that in the book of Romans. Whether we realize it or not, we already are to one master or to another. But when we talk about belonging to God, a long, long time ago, when I decided that I wanted to belong to that lady. And I'd like to say that I've never regretted that decision. So I will say it. I've never regretted that decision. It's true. Gotcha. I never have. There are days when I wonder about the decision, but I've never regretted it. My life is tied to hers in ways that I can't begin to fathom, probably because I'm a guy, but also because I cannot truly understand this thing that God created called love. And there are ties between us that are beyond my understanding. And I belong to her, just like she belongs to me. You know, being married to Trish changed my life and did so much to inhibit my freedom. You ever stop and think about that? It does. Being married hugely inhibits my freedom. I can't spend my money on everything that I want because she gets part of it. I heard that, Terry. Grace is going to get you for that one. I can't spend my time just how I want. I certainly can't go date other women. Not if I want to keep my physical body intact. There's huge restrictions on me. It's an amazingly wonderful thing to belong to somebody. Because the freedom that that puts into my life of belonging to a woman who loves me just the way I am is really mind-boggling. But you know what? She doesn't love me an ounce compared to what God loves me. And I am even more profoundly thankful and profoundly confused and left in awe and wonder when I think about God wanting me enough to die. To belong to him is beyond comprehension. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. I pray that you would understand the height, the breadth, the width, the depth of the unknowable love of God. Do you know how we can know something that's unknowable? Get dropped in the middle of it. I can tell you the exact dimensions of the Black Sea. This came up when I was a missionary in Ukraine and teaching in Ukraine. And of course, everybody in Ukraine at that point in time has been to the Black Sea. I could tell you all the dimensions of the Black Sea, but I still could not really understand the Black Sea until I'm dropped in the middle of it. And for every direction around me, my experience is the Black Sea. I taste it, I smell it, I hear it. That's everything that I encounter is the Black Sea. I very soon get to know the unknowableness of the Black Sea. God's love is that way. We will never get to know it until we're dropped in the middle of it and we realize that we are so enveloped in his love that it's all that I taste. It affects all that I touch, all that I see, all that I smell, all that I hear. It's God's love. That's what it means to belong to God. That's what it means to be spoken for, to have that God say, Orban, will you be mine? That's the power of the gospel. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that is the power of the gospel. You want to talk about the most amazing demonstration of God's power? You're looking at it. A changed heart. A changed life. We overlook that miracle so often. We take our salvation so for granted. But that is the biggest miracle of all. Paul is very, very clear on that. If we look back through the first eight chapters of Romans that we've gone through, we see that. Romans chapters 1-3, with a very, very broad brush. What one word sums up Romans chapters 1-3? Guilty. Doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. You're guilty. Why? Because right in the middle, chapter 2, he goes on to talk about God's law, and God's law is perfect, and God's law is a vision of God himself. And until we can measure up to that, we can never be good enough. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, chapter 1, or a Jew, chapter 3. You remember what was going on in the church at Rome? Massive division. Corinth, a church of factions, little cliques all over the place at the church of Corinth. But the church of Rome, just two. Massive split right down the middle with the Gentiles on the one side. I got to remember which side I did which on. And the Jews on the other. And there was no love lost between them. Because the emperor had kicked all the Jews out of the Rome, so the Jews had to leave. They were gone. So the Gentiles took over the church that was there. And they began to grow and they began to mature and they began to develop. And then the Jews were allowed to come back and they said, we want our church back. And the Gentiles said, it ain't your church. It's our church. And that's how the fight erupted, Your Honor. Paul's whole letter to the book of Romans is, guys, get over yourselves. You're all guilty. I don't care if you're a Gentile. I don't care if you're a Jew. You're guilty. There is none righteous, not one. Romans chapter 3. But, there's always a but there, because there's good news. But Jesus Christ came to make the difference. Paul swings into that in chapter 4. As a matter of fact, partway through chapter 3, he transfers into that. If we look at chapter 3, 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, namely the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But Jesus, but God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. And we see that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is what paid for our sins. And the resurrection proved that God accepted that sacrifice. How could Jesus pay for your sins and mine? Simple. He didn't have any. He had no sins of his own to pay for. Plus, he is God. God is infinite. Yes? Okay, God is infinite. Therefore, that sacrifice is infinite. So a sacrifice that didn't need to be made in the first place is made on an infinite scale so that the entire world is welcome to come to the table of grace. God holds out his hand to every person ever alive and says, "Will you be mine?" Every person is responsible on their own to respond to that invitation. Every person. When you get to heaven, when you get to those pearly gates, and St. Peter's there, he's not going to ask you what denomination you belong to. He's not going to ask you how good of a person that you are. He's not going to ask you any of that. He's going to say, "What did you do with my friend Jesus? Did you believe? Is your name written in God's book? If your name is there, you're welcome. If it isn't, you're not welcome." It's all about Jesus, the Christ, who died so that we could gain entrance. How? By believing. By believing that he came for me, by believing that he said he is, that believing that he is who he said he is. There we go. I'll get it out yet. We're still in Romans chapter 4 and 5, by the way, in case you've lost where we're going through. Romans chapter 4, we see the illustration of Abraham and how Abraham was credited righteousness by his faith because he trusted God with what he said. Long before he ever got the sign of circumcision, long before he ever set up, God ever set up that covenant with him, Abraham was declared righteous because he chose to believe God. And believing is a choice. And then we came to chapter 6, 7, and 8. Many people love Romans 6, 7, and 8, and it is really cool. But this is where we encounter a paradigm shift. This is where we encounter an entire change in the foundation of the way we should be thinking. If you are here tonight and you are a child of God, you are one of his kids, because you've chosen to believe Jesus, then Romans 6, 7, and 8 lay out a new foundation for us, a new framework, a new frame of reference. What shall we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Are you crazy? Why would you even want to do that? Do you not understand grace? That's what Paul is saying. Chapter 6, verse 1. Don't you understand what Jesus did to bring you into his family, to give you a whole new identity? February 24 and 25, come out to do the workshop. There, commercial's over. We are new people. He told the Corinthians that. The old is gone, the new has come. Not the new is coming, not the new is getting plugged in installments. We are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Romans 6, 7, and 8 help us understand a little bit of the journey from bondage to freedom, from slavery to sonship. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being gender specific there. I'm using son the way Paul was as a legal term. So what Paul means when he says sonship in Romans is the fact that they are a full child with full heir, with the full rights of being a child in that family. You are no longer attached to the old one. You are brought into the new one and given full rights. Ephesians chapter 2 says, while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Jesus died to give us life. The tomb is empty. Life for a Christian is outside that tomb. Life for a Christian is living in the freedom of life. How many of you know the book, The Last Battle? C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, the final one. How many of you remember how that ends? Come further in, further up. Come. That is the Christian life. That is accepting the salvation. That is Romans 6, 7, and 8. I am no longer bound by sin. I am set free. I am no longer bound by the law, chapter 7. That has been broken and has been done away with. It's been fulfilled. As a matter of fact, in Colossians, Paul says, all of the commandments and the demands against me, being the law, were taken out and nailed to the cross. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had a mortgage burning party? No one? You're still paying your house off. Okay. That's kind of what we do to celebrate, right? You get your mortgage papers. At least that's what I've been told. I rent. That's what I've been told, is you burn it and it's done, and it's stamped paid in full. You know what they used to do with legal documents that were paid in full in the days that Paul lived? They would take it to the front gate and they would nail it there. And that nailing the document there symbolized it was paid in full. Jesus Christ was nailed to that gate, indicating that that debt is paid in full. I am free. And then Romans chapter 8. Wow! I am free to be all that He has created me to be. And living that way is the most amazing act of worship I can ever do. Worship is not about singing a song. Worship is not about feeling warm and fuzzy inside when I pray or when I sing or when I do whatever. Worship is about living my life as God intends me to the full extent that He created me. That is worship. We're actually going to get there. I'm jumping ahead. That's Romans chapter 12. But Romans chapter 8 is just so full of this new outlook. We've talked about being set free from sin, set free from the law, from bondage, from slavery. And then chapter 8 is all about freedom and sonship. Let's just take a look at a couple of verses. And this is kind of what I was talking about before. The biggest miracle that God ever does is in your heart when He takes a sinner and He changes them to a saint. When He takes a sinner and says, You're mine now. We were enemies, not anymore. That's the biggest miracle that can ever happen. And we overlook it every day. Romans chapter 8. Let's start with the obligation, verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation. See, I knew there was a catch somewhere. We are under obligation. What is that obligation? To not live according to the flesh. To not live according to the lifestyle of the tomb. To not live the lifestyle of the dead. We are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but to live by the Spirit. To understand that every day I can walk holding Jesus' hand. Spoken like a true three-year-old. As if Daddy's not holding my hand a whole lot tighter as I hold on to his finger, because that's about all that fits into my little hand. Because he holds on to me way past my ability to hold on to him. This was all his idea. The cross, salvation, it was all his idea. I didn't even know I needed it until he pointed it out, and I went, ooh. Guilty. God says, yeah, I know. And I took care of it. Verses 24 and 25. For in hope we were saved. There was a lot of hope going on this past week as you were checking your weather apps. I hope it gets warmer. I hope we're done with the minus 40s. I hope we're done with the... Then it was like, okay, I hope we're done with the minus 30s. I hope we're done with... There's a lot of hope going on this past week. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. Because who hopes for what you see? We hoped that it would warm up when it was still cold. Now that it's warming up, we hope it continues, but we don't hope that it will warm up because it already has. We hope it will get warmer. Hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. That's what we spent 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks talking about through the Advent season and through Christmas time. The initial wait up for Jesus to come the first time, and now our ongoing wait with eager anticipation for Jesus coming again. And in the meantime, we live in that expectation because we have hope. There is hope in this life. Folks, if you're here tonight as a Christian, as one of God's children, this is the worst it's ever going to be. There's a lot of hope in that. If you're here tonight and you're not one of God's child, enjoy it, because this is the best it's ever going to be. You continue life outside of God's family, it only gets worse from here on out. What then shall we say about these things? Verse 31. If God is for us, duh. If God is on our side, who could be against us? What exists that God did not create? Nothing. If God is creator, however you view that, I don't really care. If God is creator, then everything else is creation. What can stand against a creator? Nothing. If you're one of God's kids, whose side is God on? Yours. He's on your side as one of his kids. And I've told you this story before about my daughter. When we would walk in Ukraine, and there would be a group of young guys coming towards us, didn't matter which side of the road or whatever, she was always moved to the other side of me so that I was always between her and these other guys, and she always felt safe. Because I can be pretty intimidating and imposing when I want to be. She knew that I would die protecting her. If God is on your side, what are you worried about? Who can ever stand against us? Are there going to be wicked, bad, nasty things that happen to you? Yes! Why? Because we live in a sin-sick world. We broke it. And we continue to break it. But does that negate God's ability to take whatever we dish out and to turn it into good? No. That's in Romans 8 too. Not Romans 8 verse 2. It's in Romans 8 also. Verse 28. For my God is able to take all things and work them to the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose, those that are his kids, in other words. Man, I love being one of God's kids. For I am convinced, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers. So we see angels, demons, the devil, all of that is included in that statement. Nor things that are present, nor things to come. The past is done, so we don't have to deal with that. Nor anything else in creation. Sorry, I skipped a line. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For the love of God the Father, who designed this all so that we could be part of his family. That's what it means to belong. That's what it means to be spoken for. That's what it means to answer that simple question that God asks. Will you be mine? I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being willing to come. Thank you for your sacrifice for me, for each one here. And Lord, I don't know if there are some here tonight who have never responded to that question that you have for them. But if there are, I ask that they would do business with you. Lord, you offer salvation while we live. We don't know how long that will be. Father, for each one who's here as your child, thank you for each one and for the miracle that they are, for the miracle of your grace and your transformation. Lord Jesus, thank you. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your soul. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.